So you might not expect to hear a pastor say this, but deconstructing your faith can actually be a good thing, because one of the most important questions any of us can ask ourselves is, why do we believe the things that we believe? If you want to hear more, join us Easter Sunday morning right here at Lampson Road at 10:30 a.m. as we talk about deconstructing faith. I hope to see you there.
So today is the final message in our 40 days of purpose, and it's a timely message, and it's an important message for us to cover, and that is when God says no. Now the scripture says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I may answer you. No, that's not what it says at all. It says, call to me and I will answer you. God will always answer our prayers. However, sometimes the answer is no. As we talked about, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes the answer is grow. You need to grow up before I can get you that or give that to you or bless you with that. And sometimes the answer is go. Yes, yes, that's a good request. And we don't need to rehash that because we have discussed that before. But sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes God simply says no. We live in a day where we often hear people, particularly who are on television or whatever, say, you know, if you name it and claim it and you have enough faith, God is going to give it to you, as though somehow through our behavior, we can manipulate God into doing things that we want him to do. That, I just want you to know, is very contrary to scripture. God sometimes says no. For proof, I take you to the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nonetheless, not your will, or not my will, but your will be done. God said no to his own son. God said no to a lot of people in scripture. Or God said no in a way in which it didn't meet their expectation or what they desired. God sometimes says no. And so we're going to look at, out of the hundreds of reasons why God could say no, we're going to look at three main reasons why God says no. Now, I want to caution you. There's a caution in your outline. Use these to comfort yourself, but never use them with someone in pain, because you don't know why God said no to them. Okay? This is for you. This isn't for you to go and tell somebody, I know why God isn't answering your prayer, because you don't know why God is answering your prayer. You may think you know, but you don't know. And unless God gives you some kind of special revelation that's very specific, he's not telling you why he's saying no to somebody else. For proof of that, I would direct you to the book of Job. You know the story of Job. Job was a very wealthy man, and Satan appeared in the presence of God and said that he was roaming the earth to see who he could torment. And he mentions to God, or God actually mentions to Job, have you noticed my servant Job? And God grants permission to Job, or to Satan, to torment Job. We don't really want to understand why God did that, but nonetheless, so Job, in a single day, he lost his family, he lost his wealth, he just unimaginable pain and destruction in his life and loss in his life. And on top of that, he becomes inflicted with this disease that has these painful boils on his body. And three of his friends come to visit him. Now, they started out very well, the three friends, because what did they do? They sat with him for 7 days and never said a word. Do you want to know the best thing you can do for someone in pain? Is sit with them and keep your mouth shut. Seriously. We often think, well, I don't know what to say to them. You're not going to know what to say to them. But sometimes just your presence, saying, I'm here, I'm listening if you need to talk, I love you, is enough. Because you can't begin to understand the pain that someone else is going through. So they started out right, but then they began to speak for God and to tell Job, well, this is why this is happening, and this is why this is happening, and this is why this is happening. And if you run ahead to the end of the book, when God addresses them, finally, he says, I'm not happy with you guys because you got it all wrong. You have no idea what you're talking about. So be very careful trying to tell somebody else why they are experiencing pain. Sometimes when something happens, we have a tendency to flippantly say, well, that's the judgment of God. That's the judgment of God. When Katrina struck, remember Hurricane Katrina? There were a lot of people that claimed that that was the judgment of God because of what? Because of New Orleans, because of the French Quarter, because of all the sinful stuff that's supposed to take place in that area. But guess what? The hurricane didn't touch that area. I know. I went and visited afterwards to help rebuild, and that area was completely untouched. It was fine. So if God was judging that area, then they would have been destroyed, but they weren't destroyed. And so, Bourbon Street was fine. We don't always know what God is doing, and so we need to be extremely careful in pretending that we do when it comes to somebody else. So these reasons are for you. If you want to share the outline with somebody else, you can. And just give it to them and say, hey, this, don't give it to them and say, I think you need to hear this, okay? You can give it to them and say, God spoke to me through this, and so I thought I'd pass it on. Okay? All right, so let's get into it. God says no when he has a bigger perspective. God says no when he has a bigger perspective. Hebrews 4:13 says this, he knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. Proverbs 2:8 says, God guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. And so when God sees something, he has a bigger perspective than we have. He has a greater understanding. He is seeing, both sides of the picture. This can be illustrated when, there's two people praying for opposing things. Okay? So to make it very simple, when kids are praying that there's a snow day and parents are praying that there isn't, I'm not sure that God really cares whether there's a snow day or not, but one of them is going to be disappointed. Okay? God has a bigger perspective than just us and our immediate concerns. People will pray that their favorite football team or basketball team, we're in the March Madness, that their basketball team will go all the way, you know? They'll finish up, be the national champions. Well, guess what? Somebody else is probably praying that your team won't make it there. Again, I'm not sure that God really cares, but somebody's going to be disappointed. God doesn't answer prayers that cause someone to defile the principle of free choice. So, what do I mean by that? If you're in a troubled relationship and you pray that God will cause that person to stay with you and or to make that person fall in love with you, God doesn't do that. Why? Because they are a person of free will. They are a person of free choice. And so they may not choose what you want. And God doesn't force people to make decisions. This might be helpful in understanding when we pray for somebody's salvation. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Why? Because God doesn't force you to accept Him. If He did, we would all be Christians. We would all be followers of Jesus Christ. But His answer to a prayer does not negate the principle of free will. We still have a choice in the matter. Now, God can persuade, and God can create circumstances that maybe force a decision, but God doesn't make that decision for us. God says no when He has a bigger perspective. God says no when He has a better plan. God says no when He has a better plan. This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For my ways are higher than yours. That's the Living Bible, Isaiah 55. In Hebrews 11, 39 through 40, it says, these were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. Sometimes God says no because He has a better plan. Sometimes God says no because He has a better idea. Think about, the plans that you have. Maybe when you were in high school, you had certain career ideas or college, and God directed you to something different. God said no. Maybe there's an old high school sweetheart that you just thought that you should marry, and you prayed to God that you'd be able to get married, and He said no. And then when you go back to your high school reunion, you're praising God that He did say no. God has a better plan. See, we have limited view, limited understanding, limited vision, limited perspective. God sees things to be bigger, and He says He has a better plan. You see, God promises a lot of things in His Word, but He is not obligated to fulfill those promises in our lifetime because God is not limited by time. He is eternal. And so when you read through the book of Hebrews, there's a whole bunch of people who lived according to faith but did not see the promises of God before they died. So I want you to understand this. God has all of eternity to fulfill His promises. He has all of eternity to fulfill His promises. Sometimes we think and we pray about God healing someone, bringing healing to someone. And it doesn't happen in the way in which we think. We pray for healing and that person passes away. And we're disappointed. But God has a greater purpose. God has a bigger perspective. Let me tell you something. All of us are terminal. Every one of us is terminal. We don't know when our last day will be, our last breath will be, but we're all terminal. And so there are times when God will answer a prayer for healing because he's not finished with that person yet. There's more for them to do. And then there are times when he says, I'm going to heal him, but it's not going to be on that side of heaven. I'm going to bring him home. God has a better plan. Number three, God says no when he has a greater purpose. God says no when he has a greater purpose. I cry out to God Most High who fulfills his purpose for me. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith as fire tests how genuine gold is. Your faith is more precious than gold. You see, sometimes God says no because he wants to do a work in you. Sometimes God says no and he allows you to experience pain. Why? So you'll be able to help somebody else. So you'll be able to walk alongside of somebody else who is going through that pain. Pastor Rick Warren, I don't know if you know his story, but 4 years ago, his son commits suicide. Now, he had prayed for God to heal his son from his mental illness, but God chose not to. And so his son chose a permanent solution to a temporary problem. God said no to Rick Warren and his wife Kay and allowed their son to commit suicide. But since then, and over the last 4 years, Pastor Rick and his wife have been able to come alongside a lot of different people who were going through the same pain and were able to walk them through it and stand with them and be their friend and minister to them. And they were able to do that in a way that they wouldn't have been able to if they had not experienced it for themselves. God says no when he has a greater purpose. 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 18, it says, these present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they will produce in us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. You see, God allows us to experience pain so that we might learn. Because you don't learn by getting everything right the first time. You learn the most by making mistakes and attempting it again. You learn by going through trouble. You learn by experiencing pain. God teaches you. He brings things out of your life. He exposes things in your life to you. Just like when raw gold that is mined has to be heated up. And when it is heated up, the gold is separated from what is known as the dross or the impurities. And those are skinned off the top. And afterwards, what you have left is pure, beautiful gold. But before that, the gold is impure. And so it has to go through a great amount of heat in order for that experience to happen. This is sugaring season in central New York. Maple syrup is being made. And so people will take the sap and they'll pull it out of the tree. But in order for that sap to become sugar, it has to endure a great amount of heat. And all of the water and other things are boiled away. So what you have is pure golden sweetness. Do you know some of the sweetest people you will encounter in life have gone through the most pain, have suffered the most? God has a greater purpose. You think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, his desire was to go to Rome and to preach in Rome. And as you read through his letters, you can see that he had that desire to go to Rome and to preach in Rome. Maybe his idea was that he would go there and he would rent out a Colosseum and he would have a crusade and he would be able to preach and people would come to know Christ. God did not do that. God did not allow that. He was able to go to Rome, but he went to Rome in chains. And he was in prison. But because God didn't answer his prayer in maybe the way he wanted to, we have the New Testament. We have the letters of Paul, the Pauline epistles. Because while he was in prison, he had time to write. There was nothing else for him to do but to write letters to churches. And so God could have let him have the Colosseum and hold a crusade, which might have yielded some fruit, but it would have been somewhat temporary. But instead, God answered his prayer by taking him to Rome and putting him in prison so that we might have the scriptures that we have today, that have impacted lives for thousands of years. Sometimes God has a better plan and sometimes he has a greater purpose and he certainly has a bigger perspective. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "There are some things the Lord our God has kept secret, but there are some things he has let us know." Just as you'll never understand how the mystery of life forms in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery at work in all that God does. We don't have to know. We don't have to understand. We may not understand this side of glory, this side of heaven, but God has a plan. God has a purpose, and God has a bigger perspective. So, what should I do when God says no? Because he's going to say no. He's going to say no. I mean, what parent who has any amount of wisdom would say yes to every request for their children? No parent says yes to everything. No parent would do that. I mean, that's what grandparents do, but no parent would do that. You don't say yes to everything. Why? Because there are some things they're not ready for. There are some things that they don't understand. There are some things that while they might bring temporary pleasure, we know would hurt them in the long run. And God is the same with us. So God is going to say no. And so what should we do when God says no? First of all, trust that God does everything in goodness and love. Trust that God does everything in goodness and love. That's his motivation. His motivation is not to punish you. I mean, God may say no to you because you've demonstrated that you aren't capable of handling something. But God doesn't say no as a punishment. God has, as a motive, love and goodness for you. In everything, God works for the good of those who love him. I don't have to understand God's answer to know that it's motivated by love. The enemy will say to you, well, God didn't answer this because he doesn't love you. The enemy will say to you, God didn't answer this because he's not listening to you. The enemy will say to you that God didn't answer this because there's something wrong with you, because you don't have enough faith. God always answers your prayers. Sometimes it is no. Think of Moses, who because of his actions was told by God that he wasn't going to go into the promised land. And Moses prayed three times that God would change his mind. And each time, God said no. And then finally, God said, don't ask me again. God has a bigger plan. He has a bigger perspective. David wanted to build the temple. God said no. I don't have to understand God's answer to know that it is motivated by love. Number two, when in pain, pray what Jesus prayed facing the cross. Pray what Jesus prayed when facing the cross. So as we spoke earlier, here's an example of Jesus praying to his Father. Lord, if it be possible, allow this experience, allow this cup to pass from me. Allow this painful death to pass from me. If there be another way, let's take it. Going a little further, Jesus fell down to the ground, praying that if possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. And Jesus prayed, Abba, my Father, all things are possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will, not mine. And so the right way to pray when we don't understand is first, affirm God's power. Affirm God's power. Father, I know you can do anything. Jesus said, Father, I know it's possible. It's not that Jesus can't answer your prayer, or God can't answer your prayer. It's not that God doesn't have the power to answer your prayer. He has the power. But he says no. And that's what he said to his son. No. No. You see, when we pray often, we pray, and when we pray, we have a certain outcome, and we have an idea of how we want it to happen. So, for example, we might find ourselves in deep debt. Because of choices that we made, because of things that have happened, whatever. And so we might pray that God would get us out of debt. And of course, when we pray that, what are we thinking? Just let me win the lottery. And it'll be over in a minute. I'll have more money than I know what to do with. Can I tell you something? God isn't going to answer that prayer. So if you're playing the lottery, God might allow you to win. And you know that most people who win the lottery end up being worse off than they were before. God will say no. He'll help you get out of debt, but it might be a painful process. Because why? Because he wants to teach you. God could have probably figured out some other way. He certainly could have answered his son's prayer and said, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to see you go through this, son. I don't want to see you go through this pain. I don't want to see you go through this suffering. And he could have rescued his son from it. And if he had, we would all be destined to an eternity in hell apart from God. God has the power to answer prayer any way he chooses, as long as it's not contrary to his will. Father, I know you can do anything. Secondly, ask with passion. Ask with passion. Father, please give me what I ask. I know that all things are possible for you. You can do anything. Please, please grant me this request. Please take this cup from me. And then third, accept his plan. However, what I want most is your will. So even if you say no, even if you don't do things the way I think you ought to do them, you know best, and I accept your will for my life. And then the third thing that we should do when God says no is this: expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. The Apostle Paul is speaking. He says, three times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. So I gladly boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can flow through me. When I am weak, then I am strong. Those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You do not abandon anyone who comes to you. God will give you the grace to endure what he is bringing you through. If he brings you to it, he will bring you through it. He will give you the grace to endure the answer. Going back to the story of Job, it's interesting that Job got it right. God commended Job, and he ended up blessing him by restoring back to him everything that was taken, even more than what was taken. And if you read through the book of Job, it's encouraging in a way. I mean, it's kind of depressing in a way too, but there's some encouragement to be found in there, because Job was honest with God. He said he didn't understand what God was doing. He even whined and complained a little bit about what was happening to him. But he never accused God of doing something wrong. And so there's some hope for us, and that we don't have to understand, and we can have an open dialogue, and we can say, Lord, I don't know what it is you're trying to teach me. I don't know why it is that you've answered my prayers this way. But what I do know is that you are God. So give me the grace, give me the strength, help me through this, because you are God, and I know that you love me, and I know that you care for me. So I ask for you to help me endure what I am enduring. God will sometimes say no. You know, I think in my own life sometimes about times in which God has said no, When I first came to this church, when it was known as Bethel Baptist, some of you have heard this story before. I didn't necessarily want to be here. And there have been times throughout my ministry where I have sought to leave. I thought, God, if you open the door for me, I'd like to go someplace else. And there were times when we had opportunities. We were given an opportunity to pursue a job in Malaysia, my wife and I. We had, I had applied for what I thought was going to be my dream job, to pastor a church in Alaska. And I made the first cut out of, I couldn't believe that many people wanted to apply for that job, but I made the first cut. I was out of, I think, 250 people, I was one of the top 25. I was offered a job, a position in a larger church in southern Pennsylvania. And my wife and I very clearly knew that God was saying no. I mean, I know it's hard to believe, but I haven't always wanted to be, you know, outside of Phoenix, New York. But I was thinking about it the other day, that had I taken any of those other positions, or had God moved me someplace else and answered my prayer and took me out of here, I don't know that my son would have become my assistant pastor. I don't think that would have happened. I don't know that my daughter and her husband and my grandchildren would be with me in church. I don't know that that would have happened. I've developed some long-lasting friendships, which wouldn't have happened had God said yes to what I thought I wanted at the time. Call to me, and I will answer you. But just understand this, that it may not be the answer that you want or that you understand.